Welcome to a Catalyst for Change podcast, where we are a catalyst to inspire compassion among people, promote collaboration with leaders, and build capacity for programming. Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Catalyst for Change show, hosted by Support After Abortion. Support After Abortion exists to end the demand for abortion by healing those who have been impacted. I am so grateful to be with you today. My name is Lisa Rowe. I'm going to be your host, as well as the CEO for the amazing organization that's hosting this show, Support After Abortion. And today I get to share with you a conversation with a woman who's developed into a great friend. She's been an inspiration to me, and I've learned so much from her. And we just had a really great conversation before this show. And so we're just going to let God share. We hope that this is a conversation among girlfriends, that this touches your heart, and that you leave inspired to know that abortion impacts all of us, men and women, young women, older women, women with children, women without children, men that know about children that are being aborted, and men that don't know. And so we just hope to bring light to the healing that comes as a result of abortion and maybe the journey that you're currently on. And so, Karen, welcome to the show today. I'm so glad that you're here.
Oh, so I'm so excited to be able to be a part of this with you, Lisa. It's awesome. Out of nowhere, I end up with this like email exchange, and here we are. It's like 2 months later. It's just amazing to watch God's hand in it all. It's fun.
It is. It is, Karen. And so for our listeners and our viewers, can you share a little bit more about why you would even be interested in doing a show with me today?
Absolutely. Well, my name is Karen Sweeting. I'm up from the Lakes region of New Hampshire. In central New Hampshire, my husband and I, and our cat and our dog live up here. But Lisa, really what I don't, like I told you last week, it's so funny how things happen, because I'm the president and founder of the Optimum Life Academy. I wrote a book, Get Equipped. But in the midst of 4 years ago, starting, you know, some coaching certifications, and even though I've been, you know, doing different coaching and training and different things, it's really the end of the day, it's about for us to be healthy and whole. And for us to be healthy and whole, that means we have to sometimes circle back and face things of our past. And so in 1993, when I found myself single and pregnant, I did have an abortion. And it wasn't even till summer of 2018, Lisa, that I actually went through really, really addressing the pain and shame of having an abortion, going through CareNet's Forgiven and Set Free. So I'd done some healing, Lisa, but never to the depths of what I finally did it in the summer of 2018. So I think I actually was pursuing your organization, seeing that you guys needed speakers. So what else? Support After Abortion, reproductive loss. It's like, oh, you need speakers? Okay, I'll come. How do I help? Sure. So that's kind of how it all started. I think I even sent it just to volunteer to start. And then I'm like, I think there's more that I could do with these beautiful people that are a movement of health and healing for people.
Absolutely. And then you and I had a conversation. It was like, I can't leave her at a volunteer. I got to figure out how to plug her in.
Lighting was so cute. I mean, your volunteer, your staff are all just great. And the more I dig in, the more I see what you all are doing with Support After Abortion, I'm like, how do I help these folks? How do I help them get the word out about the services you're providing? I mean, even the story of Support After Abortion, how it even just launched, and what you're doing with Viable, and what you're doing with the weekly support groups, and what you're doing with, you know, the different training. There's just so much more content and curriculum that can go onto this website that, let's just say it what it is, reproductive loss or abortion or whatever. If people are still guarded about that word abortion, then okay, let's talk about reproductive loss, whether it was miscarriage or it's just, Lisa, my heart's desire is just because of what I went through myself. I mean, just really, for 6 years after 1993, I was working at the San Diego Convention and Visitors Bureau. I was 10 years in the hospitality industry before I got into the healthcare industry. And 6 years, no one knew. No one knew other than my college roommate who took me. And the patterns of behavior that I developed out of the pain and shame, knowing, and I was a Christian at that point. My brother was killed in a drunk driving accident in 1988. My brother-in-law was driving the car. So really kind of being, that was a catalyst for me to really, my brother was struggling with drugs and alcohol, and he had gone to church on Easter Sunday with my oldest sister and my mom and dad. And that was when my brother really surrendered his life to really getting on the right track with God. And that was when I dedicated the next season to my brother's memory. And that was when I got recruited from a junior college in San Diego to play ball up at UC Davis. But to just the patterns we develop when you try to hide sin, you know? So it was like to watch my dad handle that, to forgive my brother-in-law, who was the driver of the car that killed my brother. And then, you know, fast forward, I ended up dating a gentleman in college at when I went to school in Northern California. And he was Jewish, but became a Christian. And so his father said he'd disown him. So then that's when I found myself, again, brokenhearted from losing my brother. Thank God my brother knew the Lord, so I know he's in heaven. Then brokenhearted from losing the relationship that I fell in love with my college sweetheart. And then was dating and single and found myself with an unplanned pregnancy. And going to a Planned Parenthood, that's where, Lisa, there is such a need for education. It's not, I love the conversations that you and I have had too, because it's not just, even with the ministry that's happening right now with Roe versus Wade, it's not just about the legislation being reversed. It's about educating people, the impact of mental health, the impact on people's lives from the pain and the shame that people are carrying. I mean, it doesn't matter if you're a CEO, a VP, a C-suite leader, it doesn't matter if you're a housekeeper working at McDonald's, whoever you are. If reproductive loss has impacted your life, it's to face it, forgive yourself, forgive others, and be an advocate for forgiveness. And not this, but I'll be honest, this book that I just wrote, it's an Amazon number one bestseller, but I almost pulled the plug on really even talking about having an abortion because of the fear of being judged. But preparing for this interview with you, Lisa, I really put it in my journal this morning, is that I'm willing to take the risk of being judged and criticized if it will help set other women free. Mm-hmm. I have to stop there because I think I'm about to lose it.
Yeah. So. And that's why I felt like an interview today, Karen, was going to be so profound, because you speak for yourself. I don't need to sell you to anyone, but as you hear somebody with intellect, as you hear somebody be able to share that there were vulnerabilities leading into that relationship that led to your unexpected pregnancy, that led to your abortion experience, we need more women that have that understanding of where it started, but also that can articulate and share, because we know that abortion doesn't discriminate, right, Karen? I mean, we know that it crosses all poverty levels, all income levels, all races, all religions. And so if we're not speaking about our experience from our experience, how are people going to see themselves and then say, oh my gosh, I've been living with this secret like you did for 6 years.
Yes.
What was it that perpetuated that breakthrough for you after 6 years?
Well, it was crazy, Lisa, because I mean, it wasn't even until 2018 that reading all the typical behavior patterns of someone that has had an abortion, I was like, oh my gosh, I'm not crazy. And even the gal that I met with on July 4th, 2018 of all times, I bawled my whole way down the 93 down to CareNet. But so to answer your question, what happened at the San Diego CVB is that I found myself in a toxic environment. I lost 20 pounds. I started smoking a pack of cigarettes a day. Mind you, I was a professional athlete, but the enemy was so trying to destroy me because he knew I was going to be here today doing this interview with you, because whoever is watching this is going to be set free from the pain and the shame of having an abortion. But it was, I spiraled into an 18-month severe clinical depression. And you can see more of my story on KarenSweeting.com, and that's all a work in progress. I'm just trying to figure out, Lord, what tools, what do you want to use to equip women to be, and men to be, set free so they can get on with their God-given destiny. But it was really not my choice, Lisa. It was, I literally quit my job without a job. I worked there September of 98 till October of 99. I quit that job. My mom and dad flew out from Montpelier, Vermont. I'm the fifth daughter of five girls. There's six of us kids. My brother was the youngest. And my folks came to San Diego, California, and lived with my other sister, Diane, for 6 months while we were trying to figure out what is going on. And I mean, I'm a very optimistic, positive, outgoing person, but when your body chemistry and your chemistry, you know, from your professional training as a social worker and your training, it just like, when your body chemistry gets out of whack, clinical depression is not something that you just get better overnight. And it took so much time, different counselors. I did try different medications because I was smoking. It was actually Wellbutrin that finally helped me get to the quit smoking and my body chemistry back into whack. But it was also, then my folks had to go back to Montpelier, back to Vermont for my oldest sister, Lynn, who was having surgery. She's a mom of six kids now. So that's so beautiful how God worked that. So just to bring a closure to that story, my brother-in-law ended up getting 16 months in Teen Challenge versus going to jail for 10 years. They're still married. They had two boys at that point. Now they have six boys total, and just a beautiful, beautiful thing what God did there. My dad learning, teaching us what forgiveness really looks like. So that's just beautiful of what God did there. But anyways, so the depression was the first part of peeling back parts of the layers, Lisa, of really getting to like the reality of this depression is being caused because of the fact that I had an abortion and I am sabotaging myself, punishing myself, medicating with alcohol and food and promiscuity and all these things because I felt so awful about the fact that I had made the decision to take the life of my own child. So, and then it wasn't until starting this coaching certification of really thinking, okay, I'm doing a day job, but really I want to help more women with my story. And that's when coincidentally, I ended up at a Women in Leadership conference where I sat beside the executive director of CareNet, Kathleen Mulway. And so I sat beside her and then I didn't even tell her that day. But then when I was driving down the freeway one day, the Lord's like, you need to go to her office. I went to her office and she basically said, have you ever gone through any, you know, any abortion recovery healing? I'm like, no, I thought once I had gotten and gone through the therapy and learning about nutrition and learning about how important exercise is, all those basic fundamental things about being well, which we all know, but any sin, it doesn't matter. When I do speaking engagements, Lisa, I take the mask off. It doesn't matter what your sin is. You guys happen to just be specific to this niche, but whether it's bankruptcy, divorce, adultery, look at David in the Bible. He was the apple of God's eye and he was an adulterer, a murderer, but we all sin. That's why Jesus died, for us to be forgiven and truly set free. So, I mean, it wasn't until summer of 2018 that I really finally addressed the reality of how abortion impacted my life. And then come to find out, Lisa, through that, my husband shared with me the fact that his previous wife, he was married for 10 years, single for seven before we got married, that his previous wife had had two abortions and they were his children and he didn't know about it until after the fact. So there's men out there that are also, for whatever their story is, everyone has a story. And the more we can share our stories, I pray that whoever is watching this, if this hits home to them or knows someone that it hits home, that they reach out to you, because the more and more stories, Lisa, that you can put on this Catalyst Support After Abortion website is only going to give others permission to step forward and tell their story, because we are healed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. So the more people share their story, stop the shame of course, we can't go back. We can't change it. So my prayer is my husband's heart is being healed from him watching me go through the healing. And so now we can be whole as husband and wife 14 years into our marriage. I didn't find out about that until 12 years into our marriage. And his response to me when I first told him, Lisa, was very judgmental and critical, to the point where I was like, oh my gosh, did I like marry the wrong person? But little did I know, it was all that pain and shame and betrayal and hurt that he was robbed of not being able to be a father. So it's just amazing how really Romans 8:28, God does work all things together for good for those who love the Lord and are called according to his purpose. And that's why we're here today. You and I are here today.
Absolutely. And some common threads that I hear as you're talking are the significant time between when you experienced abortion, yes, and when you found true healing.
Yes.
Even though you were finding other layers of healing from depression and yep, all of the different habits you had picked up, yep, you still, there was almost 30 years there, right? Or 25 yes, years. And yes, then when you do start to experience that healing, it doesn't mean that everybody around you begins to heal too. It means they maybe are triggered by your healing experience. Right. And so I just love to point those things out, because as people are listening, you're right, they're going to start to see themselves, hear themselves in their stories. I always like to say, we all have different stories, but they're similar threads. The right. brokenness leads to broken decisions, which leads to broken consequences. Mm-hmm. And so as we journey through that, you know, we have a similar thread. And so I love that you were able to kind of bring that full circle and help us to see the ripple effect to family members, and to also be able to stand in a space of saying, you know what, like, if people don't respond and they actually react to my story, that maybe they have their own story underneath all of it that I want to be present to.
Yes. Well, I think the whole thing of the verse that comes to my mind, Lisa, is like 3 John 2, is that above all else, the Lord wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. So even as in my, you know, my husband and I talk about it a lot, even in our profession of even wanting to help, you know, corporations be healthy. And corporations, if they're not healthy, it's like, why is someone missing work because of the abuse of alcohol, because of counterfeit comforts, because in unresolved wounds of the past? It may be abortion, it may be something else. But I mean, over 60 million women and men are out there since Roe versus Wade was passed. And the more the dialogue can begin, what's in it for the bottom line? You as the CEO of SAA, if you had someone that's on your staff that had never really resolved the pain and shame of an abortion and are self-medicating with alcohol and missing work or ending up with diabetes or cancer, it's a trickle effect on our society. So there's such a bigger picture. And the whole thing, Philippians 1:6 too, is like, we're all a work in progress, Lisa. You know, we all have different seasons where we have enough confidence and enough health in one area that we can then, okay, we're never going to arrive. We are all human, perfectly imperfect, flawed sinners saved by a beautiful Savior. That's why we all need Jesus. But we are all a continual work in progress, that we will never not be human, never not in need of healing. So that's all I hope, is that if there is someone that needs help and healing from a reproductive loss, that they get the help they need and get equipped to go live the life that God would have them.
And it was your humility when somebody who you trusted said, have you been through healing? And you said, no, that you would take that next step. And sometimes that next step is the biggest step, is saying, oh, okay, that was told to me for such a time for a reason. And I need to follow through on that and see where it goes. Even if somebody says, I've been saved by God's grace. Yeah. I don't think about it like everybody says they do. I've moved on. I've had 4 children, living children, you know, whatever those things are, my programming team would submit to that thought process and say, if you have not memorialized your aborted child, you have not finalized the grieving process, or maybe some would even say you have not begun the grieving process, because they believe that the grief process is ongoing, you know, birthdays, milestones, different things. What would you say to that, Karen?
I 100% agree. I mean, because I figured out how to do life and continue to be successful. You know, I mean, in sales and marketing, it's a matter of it's kind of like playing basketball. Once you learn how to shoot a free throw, you always know how to shoot a free throw. If you're fat battling the flu or something, you still can go shoot the free throw. But same thing with sales and marketing, is that I still was successful. I had peeled back the onion to get out of clinical depression, that I was in the hospital for 5 days because I was suicidal from December 14th to December 20th. The thoughts constantly bombarding my mind of like, will you ever work again? Will you ever get healthy? But then it wasn't again until, you know, the Lord probably thought that I was really ready to peel the onion back a little bit further. And that's when I met Kathleen. And that's where going through that Forgiven and Set Free, I know there's a lot of great programs out there of abortion recovery and healing, but to really literally name my girl, I named her Joy. And really that's what my heart's desire is, to share Joy's story, so we find joy in the journey. And then to literally have a birth certificate, to literally go to Calvary Manchester Cemetery and the Catholic Church in this area through Forgiven and Set Free, collaborate and they have Joy's name on the back of a gravestone. Just went there for the first time this month. And that was 3 years ago, because I wasn't really sure when. And it was like, once again, I mean, I just now, this was 1993. And I'm just now going in, you know, now to really see my daughter's name on the back of a gravestone of like, really, that was a life, but I will see her again. I will see her again. And, you know, for us to really realize that we will see our children again, but it is so important to acknowledge that that was a life, for whatever reason, why the decision was made that that life was taken from us, that that eternity is real. We're all going to live either with God in his presence, where there is fullness of joy, or separated from God. I mean, ultimately, we want to make sure we have the eternal destiny decision made with our relationship with Jesus Christ. But also to know if that child was taken from us prematurely, that child is in heaven and we will see that child again. And I pray that gives men and women peace to know that that child would want them to be, live their best possible life.
Mm. You know, Karen, I am so sorry for your loss, but I am so proud of how you are choosing to walk and live out a legacy because of that loss. And what you're bringing to light through Joy's life is absolutely phenomenal. Thank you.
It brings me joy. This brings me joy. Mm-hmm. To help others. And that's what we all need to do. Absolutely. I mean, no matter what, you know, God is the God of all comfort, because Lisa, that's what he wants us to do. You know, we all have a story of what we've gone through in our lives. You know, it's like post-traumatic growth opportunities. My brother's death was the first, you know, this now, do I want to be the face of someone that's had an abortion? No, but I can't go back and I can't change it. But if I can now use this, Joy didn't die in vain. So it's like, I'm just very tired of the lies that Planned Parenthood is telling women and men. Oh, it's just a blob of tissue. It's okay. We'll set you up an appointment, you know? And it's not right, Lisa. It's not right. And I think the more people can understand the other side of it, it brings me more joy to like take the mask off and be transparent and vulnerable and real to say, yeah, I could continue to be a successful salesperson. I continue to run a consulting company or a coaching company, but by me sharing my story that can help other, and the impact it can have worldwide, Lisa, worldwide, that like getting people healthy and whole and really stepping into their God-given destiny. I believe that there are millions and millions of women sitting in the pews of churches that are not truly fulfilling the plan and purpose that God has for their lives because of the pain and shame. Oh my gosh, if they only knew, if they knew, yeah, God knows. And he's the only one that is the judge. So no matter what anybody else thinks, it doesn't matter, you know? So it's just, we have work to do. We have a lot of work to do. And I can't wait to roll up our sleeves and just, you know, it's just health and whole. God wants us to enjoy the journey. He wants us to live the abundant life. But is the enemy that comes to rob, steal, kill, and destroy, and for people to be filled with shame, that religious spirit of constantly making you feel shame, like you're bad, you did was wrong. Yes. What we did was wrong, but we're forgiven. We're forgiven.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So. And I want to end with this, Karen, because we talked about this briefly, but there, and this could probably lend itself to another conversation, but you shared an Amazon bestseller, and we talked about if you would have named your book differently, if it mm-hmm. would have been My Abortion Story or right. Depression After Abortion, there would have likely been a lessened value to that book. And so yeah. What you're sharing is so profound to me because as you say, like, I didn't choose to wake up today and share my story and maybe be, you know, the face of an abortion experience for somebody else. No, you didn't. But if we don't start talking about abortion, the way that we talk about divorce and the way we talk about poverty and the way we talk about sexual trauma and promiscuity and put fill in the blank,
yes,
we are not going to help that woman who feels like the only answer is to live in shame and to live in her secrets.
Yep.
So I just find it really profound that you would say that, and we would have discussed, like, would your book been an Amazon bestseller? Absolutely not. In today's standards, no way.
Right. Absolutely. Well, and that's why I just feel like that's where how beautiful God is that Get Equipped, 7 Steps to Overcome Depression and Live the Optimum Life. Well, the depression, for the longest time, I talked about the depression being because of my brother's death, which I know full well that wasn't what's the cause of my depression in 1999. The cause of my depression was unconfessed sin that's going to come out sideways. And so if someone has had an abortion, but God's so beautiful that I was able to name it that. So again, my dear friend, Ruthie Bolton's 2-time gold medalist, and she also had an abortion in 1993, and she had an ESPN documentary put out. And because I called her and I said, Ruthie, we're dear friends. And we were part of another ministry together where we were part of a book, and she went through domestic violence and abortion. And she was the one that said, Karen, you have to leave that in the book. She said, I almost didn't put the information. And so she sent me a video of a woman that said, Ruthie, thank you so much for your courage and humility and transparency and vulnerability to share your story, because it's helped me realize I need to be more transparent. So then people can get the help that they need, Lisa.
Absolutely.
You know, so it's like, I love what God has done, because now it's like through Support After Abortion and the viable, you know, production, what a beautiful thing you have there with the gentleman from Disney. I mean, that needs to be in every city throughout this country, and they need to create more casts and more people that, because those people are going to be busy, because that needs to be in every community of really people seeing that theatrical production. But yeah, it's let's name it whatever we need to name it, whether faith is a part of it or not, or we just talk about, okay, what's depression all about and how do we get healed from it? Whether we talk about God in the midst of that conversation or not, I can go either way. So let's just get people healthy and whole and living the life that Jesus died for us to live.
Absolutely. So I am so grateful, Karen, for all that you are. There's so many ways to connect with you. Can you share with our audience how they might connect with you and get a hold of your book if they're interested?
Yeah, absolutely. It's on Amazon. They could definitely get it there. My website is karensweeting.com. But you know what? Just email me. I would love for people to just email me. I want to hear your story. I'd love to talk with you. My email is coachkarensweeting@gmail.com. So just coachkarensweeting@gmail.com, or my website is karensweeting.com, or my cell phone is 916-708-1078. Shoot me a text. I just would bring me more joy. Obviously, I have coaching opportunities. I do one-on-one coaching. I'll do group coaching. I have an e-course that goes along with my book as well, kind of walking you through the full armor of God. But whatever I can do to help someone be set free from the pain and the shame of reproductive loss, it would be my honor to talk with them.
Oh, Karen, thank you so much for joining us today. You truly are a catalyst for change, and your story is profound. And I'm so grateful that you shared with us all the different layers that come about as a result of an abortion experience and trauma and the relationships that we have. If you've listened to Karen's story today and you've personally been impacted by abortion or know somebody that has, contact us today, supportafterabortion.com. We have women standing by who have been right where you are and are ready to meet you with a confidential, really non-biased approach and support you wherever you are. Thanks so much for joining us. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining us today. If you or someone you know has been impacted by abortion, you are not alone. Contact us today at supportafterabortion.com. If you were inspired by today's message, we welcome you to join the conversation by following us on Facebook or Instagram.